FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYOP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 265. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
Hello, Puppet. And Jim Black. What's that?
It's a nice puppet.
It's a nice puppet. Michael Swift is having router issues. I'm suggesting that he gets a hammer and just take it to it and lay on it with a sledgehammer, but you know, hopefully he can get it up and running, and because we all know that violence and technology goes together hand in hand. Sure. If all else fails, beat it to death. That's yeah. Brett just shoots it. But yeah, hopefully he can get it up and running and can join us later. And we are so glad to have... Violence.
Whatever happened to just blowing in the cartridge?
Or putting it in the freezer.
Yeah.
You know, if you get your cartridge blown, it's going to cost you at least $20. I mean...
So is that the going rate now?
I think it's the going rate down in Covington, yes. Yes. I mean, sometimes you find one that's really, really ugly, you can get yourself one hell of a deal. So, oh yeah.
You have girlfriend, Cincinnati?
They come over for our specials.
Oh, okay. Gosh. But yeah. Yeah, moving on. On from People of the Night. I want to welcome everybody that's joined in with us already. I see Carrie's on there, Night Sword, Transformatics. Nice to see everybody. Hopefully we'll have a good entertaining show for everyone tonight, as well as all you audio listeners. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Transformers Club, past and present and future. As many of you know, the Transformers Club has basically gone away. I mean, there's still somewhat remnants of it, I guess. They're still trying to, you know, I know Brian Savage is still sending emails out and everything. Hey, buy our stuff. And you go on there and you're like, there's nothing here I want, you know. But
Or it's too expensive.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that here very shortly. But before we do that, I want to... Don's on here saying, keep it classy, guys. Yeah. We need to talk more prostitutes. Yeah. We're probably making him blush. Don, you don't count because you're cast. What was I thinking here? I lost my train of thought.
You lost that train, didn't you?
Yeah, my astral train of thought
transformed. I hate when I lose that train.
Flew into space. Sponsors, yes. We are sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, where you can save even more with orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. And if you are international, say Canada or the UK, you can get discounted shipping with orders of $150 or more at CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. I'm watching the banter here in the live chat.
I'm working on it, all right? I'm working on it.
Yes. Also, and also being worked on is Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your cost with Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. You can also find Mega Toy Fan on Facebook. Just search out Mega Toy Fan or Megamus, and you will find him wherever great
and,
deals can be had.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that we also procured a spot at the Lexington Comic Con.
Awesome.
For next year.
Yeah, this next show coming up, I am really stoked for, because as a pro wrestling fan, there's going to be lots of great pro wrestling guests there. Plus, they're going to have some other great guests there from Star Wars to, I mean, I know they're going to have Kevin Sorbo and who else was there?
They just announced a bunch of them.
Yeah, two of the actors from American Pie. I know we're going to be there.
Here's how I look at it. It's one of the bigger Comic Cons in the. It's definitely for us in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they get tens of thousands, and I know that San Diego gets hundreds of thousands, and New York gets hundreds of thousands, but. I mean, tens of thousands when all the BotCons never got tens of thousands. That means a lot. I mean, it's a big show. I would hope to see everyone there to support the show. And, Capture Prey will be there. We'll be there. So support all of us. It's going to be a good show. Real good show.
Absolutely.
So what all pro wrestlers are going to be there, John?
I know Trish Stratus, Lita, and... crap. I need to pull up their page.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah. They've.
So you have Tommy.
Oh, Jason David Frank.
Yes. And I see him pulled up first. So
also known as Emissary.
That's he was a green/white ranger, was he?
Green, white, red Zeo, red Turbo, and Black Dino Thunder.
Well, that's neat.
About such things.
Yeah, Shannon. Lou Diamond Phillips. Yeah, he's going to be there. I'm excited because he is in Stargate Universe. Let's see here.
You're going to love this. Did you pull up where it says the list of people?
No, not yet. Oh, Booker T.
You ready? Watch this. You got to see this. This is what I pulled up. Share the screen and this one. Start. This is what I got.
Coming soon.
So I have,
almost there.
Pauly Shore, Kevin Nash.
Where are you getting that from?
Rey Mysterio, their Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Oh, the Facebook, yeah.
Thomas Ian Nichols.
See, I cheat. Pro wrestlers tend to come to my place of employment.
Adrian Paul, the Islander.
You send them on their way. That's why.
That would be after their performance. And
I will have to say that when I did work at the airport, I had a couple of really, really big celebrities that we had to escort through the terminal.
Oh, yeah.
And the two that I got, you're going to love this, was, I can't remember her name. I'll skip her. Oh, Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
She was O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
I got to escort O.J. Simpson
out to a white Bronco.
I don't know what he was driving. I just escorted him through the terminal. That was my job.
Well, the cops at the end of the airport use Segways, so that just brings.
This was before Segways. This was before Segways. This would have been about 2003, right in there.
Speaking of Segways, we also have another sponsor, RippedApparel.com. If you go to Ripped Apparel, you can find great t-shirts that kind of mishmash Transformers and other items on there, Ripped Apparel. And with all your orders at Ripped Apparel, please use the promo code TFYLP pod, and you will save 10% on your order at RippedApparel.com. And as always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. Without your help, we couldn't be on each and every month. And it really, really helps helps us keep going. So thank you to everybody who continues to support us on Patreon. Last week, I know Carrie was really excited whenever we showed that we got her prize. And that's really awesome. So check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. As always, you can follow along with us in the live chat here on our YouTube channel. I know there's several people in there already chatting away. Headmaster Don's probably accosting people with Massey attacks. If you are listening to us on a later date, you can also interact with us on Twitter at TFYLP. That actually goes to my phone, so I can actually see those from time to time, and I can answer whenever I get a chance. So check out our Twitter account at TFYLP. Another programming note, October 4th in Indianapolis. I know I mentioned this last week on the podcast. November. What's that? Oh, yeah, it's October now. November 4th, my bad. November 4th in Indianapolis at the Toy Drop. Let me pull up their Facebook page here and screen share it.
For those that don't know, it's the shop formerly known as Closet Space Toys down on South Madison.
Yeah. All right. I'm screen sharing it here. The Toy Drop, yeah, it's the address is 6025 Madison Avenue, Suite E in Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. We will be going there on November 4th, and this is the Midwest Transformers Collectors Meetup. We're going to have lots of great toys there to buy. We're going to talk toys, may even play some card games. If you like Cards Against Humanity and Joking Hazard and stuff like that, we may bring those along. We're also going to commemorate the our fallen hero Chad Williams, who passed away a year ago on Halloween. He is, if you've been watching or listening to this podcast for any length of time, you'll remember Chad, and he was very instrumental in helping us out with this show. He helped a lot behind the scenes. He was even on the show several times. But he is also known for a small convention that he put on in the Indiana area for 3 or 4 years. It was called Slagicon, and Jim Black helped out from time to time. And we're going to have several of the Slagicon exclusives that were available at the show to show. This is one right here. This is the Breakneck figure. From 2011, still sealed in the package. And this, for those of you who can't see this, this is a repaint of the, what was it, Dark of the Moon Sidearm Sideswipe, I believe is the mold.
I think so. I can't see it, but I'm trying to remember what you had.
Yeah, the Sidearm Sideswipe, the Breakneck figure. It's repainted red and yellow. Chad actually customized this with his own hand. This is something that is somewhat controversial, but very integral to the Slagicon memorabilia. We'll have an actual, an actual Vector Zeta on display there. This was actually Chad's, one of the few that actually got made. This was Chad's copy here. And we'll have one of those up there. Brett's got several, and I know a couple other people We'll have some there as well. So if you want to see some SlagaCon exclusives and never got to see them in person, they will be there at the Toy Drop. I wanted to call it the old name, but yeah, the Toy Drop in Indianapolis at the Midwest Transformers meetup on November 4th in Indianapolis. We'll have some of those on display there. And we're going to commemorate Chad in his memory. We're dedicating this meetup in memory to him. It's going to be taking place some 4 or 5 days following the one-year anniversary of his loss. He is gone but not forgotten, will forever be in our hearts. And we miss you, Chad. So we hope to see everybody there, as many people can show up. I know the place isn't a huge place, but we're going to try to accommodate as many people as we can. I know there's a big back area there. It's possible that we may have that area.
Well, what it comes down to is as many people that come, we will accommodate them. We'll make sure of it.
Mm. Even if we have to expand out into the parking lot.
we've done it. And we can do it. No big deal.
No big deal. We're going to, and it's possible that we may go up to Portillo's or something after the show and get fat. Oh, wait a minute. We already are. Hope to see you guys there.
There's a Subway like 2 doors down.
Yeah, but they're not Portillo's.
I swear to God, I go on a diet. No one notices. God bless it.
You're still fat.
I know. I feel it.
Well, you're getting in the theme of things because you got a Colts cup that you're drinking from.
This is not my cup, all right? This was downstairs. So I am not a Colts fan. If anyone, okay, you're gonna make me say it. All right, here we go.
Yeah, yes, Don. There were four. How many Vector Zetas were there made? Do you remember? Total. There were less than ten.
But two of them, I used parts to fix 8. So there was a total of 8. Because the two were sacrificed. There's 8. There's only 8 of them. But just because you said that, hang on 1 second.
Okay. Inside the Vector Zeta, thing, we got some instruction booklets for the Vector Zeta. And if you look in here, oops, I keep bumping the mic here. He's in there. And I know there's a lot of people, there were some angry fans that had paid for this. It's something that was actually ultimately wound up being a thorn in the side of Chad. For a few years after, Vector Zeta was supposed to be one of the main 2011 exclusive, and what had happened is he took pre-orders for it, and it was to be a exclusive ready for people who paid for it beforehand. Whenever they got to the show, it was going to be there for them. Essentially, Vector Zeta is a upgrade set for Classics Optimus Prime to give him a Power Master Optimus Prime power up, I guess, is what it is.
Well, yeah, and this was before Power of the Primes and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So this was just taking a classic and I'll dig that one out, because I mean, some people don't know what that was based off of. It was based off of the Classic Prime.
Yeah. And it was essentially what happened is that it's a garage kit is what it is. And he paid a guy to produce these from all the pre-orders. He took the pre-order money. He paid the guy to produce these. And the guy ultimately took the money and did not produce all the sets that were pre-ordered.
So this is the Classics Prime. This is actually, I think this is a Hankai.
Hankai, yeah.
Yeah, but in any case, this mold is what that is based off of. And you're talking about a garage kit, and if you think about like Wonderfest, a lot of the Wonderfest exclusives, I mean, actually all of them, that I know of where garage kits that were licensed through Takara, and that's how they became sanctioned as official products. But they were the same thing, garage kits. And if anyone's never messed with a garage kit, it's the tolerances are they're just not there. So when
they are homemade,
they're literally made out of a garage. And when Chad got those in, he had so many of them. He might have had 12, 10 to 12. But regardless, they all had flaws. And I figured out a way to make them work. So I asked him to send them to me. And because we live fairly close. And I fixed them. And I know of a few people. One went overseas. One of them went to a regular, I'm not going to call his name out, a regular to the Midwest meetup. I have two of them. Duron has one. And there's one other one. And it went to Australia, I believe Chad told me. So altogether, I think there's only six that survived, counting that up.
I don't think Chad was ever able to fully pay everyone off. I know he tried so hard. He went so far to selling his entire collection. Mm-hmm. And Megamus knows this because Megamus bought you bought the biggest part of it, didn't you?
I did.
To resell. So he tried to pay back as many people as possible, although I don't think he was ever fully able to recover from that. And there was a lot of bad press that came on surrounding the Vector Zeta. But we got to admit, you know, I mean, it was a great idea, just poorly executed. And Chad lost a lot of sleep over this guy. But he had a lot of love in this too.
Well, that was the big thing. Here's his biggest problem. And I'll say it now, and I told him into his face. And what people don't really understand is you're talking about someone that loved the community, loved the brand so much that they wouldn't take a profit. And we kept telling him, I'm sorry. I said, but, you know, to keep this going, you got to make money at it. You got to make money this year to help fund next year and this, so on and so on. And he didn't see it that way. And it made his undoing to where that he was in such financial strife that he couldn't do another one. Because he loved the brand, he loved the community so much. And I mean, people talk about, writers and different people, voice actors that have contributed to the community. They all got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them got paid. Chad didn't, and he kept going. He did. Yeah.
There was actually a video that was made shortly before he passed, and there was, what would you say, at least 20 or 30 popular voice actors and actors, mm-hmm. Actresses within the community that either had something to do with Transformers. Some of them had nothing to do with Transformers, but they all knew Chad and were aware of Chad and made a video for him specifically for mm-hmm. Chad, and it was very, very touching. I've got a copy of it somewhere, and I'm going to try to bring it. And I know Orson's going to bring a television, and we'll try to play it at some point during the meetup for people who
weren't. I believe that video is on YouTube.
Yeah, it may be on YouTube too. So, but also I also know that the place that we're going to hold it at, the Toy Drop in Indianapolis, look them up on Facebook, like their Facebook page, give them some props. And that's where we're going to be at one more time at 6025 Madison Avenue, Suite E in Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. It's called The Toy Drop. They have a website at thetoydropindy.com. And that's where we will be on November 4th. Try to be there around noon to 1 o'clock. So, and I don't think we're going to have a set time probably whenever the store closes. So I hope to see you guys there. I just got a message. Oop.
Michael Swift still petering out.
Okay. All right. Let me try to get him in here. Brett, you want to kick us while I'm doing this? You want to kick us off about the Transformers Collectors Club and where it and when it started?
Oh my God! All right. So for someone that did no back research and
well, just off the
had no idea what was going on with this, I can tell you that FunPub picked it up in 2005. So BotCon 2005 was the first FunPub. I'll just say that sometime later they had a collector's club and they showed a lot of the different things that they were trying to do and, give us toys that we never had in, the retail. I can't believe you did this to me.
I'm trying to pull up.
I was 100% not ready for this. So, yeah, I mean, we got toys that we never thought we'd get.
Hold on. I'm pulling up.
Nexus Maximus.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about that. Now, think about that. That was a toy that was going to be a $500 toy. It's close to $500, if I remember correctly, that you got. No, it wasn't five. It was 40 bucks. It was 40 bucks a month, wasn't it?
Roughly.
$40 a year.
Yeah. So it was 200. $40 bucks a year. To get all five members, and it took you 5 years to get it, so it was $200. And at that point, I still remember thinking it was the most expensive retail combiner out there.
Mm-hmm. I got more information here. It's Fun Publications took it over in 2005, and right. When they acquired the club license, and they started out like you said with the combiner. Which ultimately I believe was called Nexus. I'm sorry. It was originally called Nexus Maximus.
I wasn't going to go into that.
Don't Google image search that.
No.
Yeah.
It's not very safe for work. But yeah.
Poor choice of words. Poor choice of words.
Yeah.
But.
They had several exclusives. The combiner, which lasted from 2005 to 2009. 05 was Skyfall. 06 was Landquake. Breakaway was on 07. 08 was Top Spin. And then 2009 completed it with Heatwave. And then in 2010, we got Elite Guard Dion with Copter, which was a redeco of the classics universe Hotshot. Yes.
Hotshot.
Yeah, but I have the cannons.
So that right then and there showed you that you had you had a club that had their highs and they had their lows. Because I'm sorry, Dion sucked.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It was
the main redeeming
but they did it. I mean,
the main redeeming part about that is the Dion had the cannons that were designed with that mold that the regular retail Hotshot was not included with.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually, if I remember correctly, that was supposed to be with the Hotshot, but yeah. Was removed.
It was.
Correct? Yeah. So you're talking about little stuff like that. And if we go across the whole span of FunPub, you're going to see that there's a lot of little things that they were able to get in there that the mass market didn't get, you know, i.e. these launchers. So you're talking about they were able to bring toys that we would never get.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think what a lot of people were clamoring for or were hoping for with the Collectors Club, I know I was hoping that the Collectors Club store would be able to offer us things that the Hasbro Toy Shop would not be able to offer us on a regular basis, as in, you know, bringing over Japanese exclusives, you know, and giving us a domestic outlet for foreign released toys. Things that not necessarily were able to be released here in the United States for one reason or another, and a possible outlet for Generation 1 reissues. Because if you remember whenever the club started back in 05, that was in the height of G1 reissues, or at least like the book style reissues.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
2005, I think they would have been on like wave 6 or something like that. They were toward the end of that.
Yeah. I have got a hangnail. I'm going to finish up the included exclusives with the paid membership, the freebies. 2011 was Sideburn. 2012 was Run Amok. 2013 was Depth Charge. 2014 was Rampage. 2015, Lyle Convoy. And 2016 was Ramjet. And speaking of exclusives, we have an exclusive right here. It's Michael Swift. He has joined us.
I hate technology.
You're right there with me.
It crashed twice. Skype crashed on me twice.
Did you punch it?
And well, the ironic thing is, at the top of Skype, it said that it just updated with better performance and general bug fixes.
And you're sitting there screaming at it, "You lie!"
I would be. Saying choice words.
I'm very upset right now.
You lying motherfucker.
Well, one thing I wanted to add, Night Sword said, and I love that he put this out here. For anyone that didn't know, in 2007, they did the Games of Deception, which was they wanted to release all the other Seekers that weren't going to be made. Now, I do the quotation marks because that was their selling point. It says, Night Sword says, Games of Deception and that headache. Yes. So FunPub was told that they weren't going to do these figures. They were literally told we were not going to do a Dirge. What else was in it said? Dirge, Ramjet, Thrust.
And Thrust.
So those three Seekers, you know, the cone heads, were not going to be done.
Well, it was Thundercracker, not Ramjet.
Huh?
Ramjet was classics.
Yeah, we got Ramjet and
classics. Yeah.
What was That's the one right. that was in There's the box set?
Thundercracker, Dirge, and Thrust.
Okay, Dirge and Thrust then. Those two were in that set only, and it was supposed to be that way. And I'm not going to say a snafu. I'm not even going to say it was deliberate. For some reason unknown, Hasbro decided to release those two figures afterwards with new molds. Now, FunPub was only given original molds to make Dirge and Thrust. So that's why Dirge just, you know, they don't look as good as would it be classics or generations?
Generations.
Well, the retail for those later ones was Universe. I believe it was
I thought it was Generations Dirge.
Well, it was just.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Thrust and Dirge didn't come out until Generations. Same with Thundercracker.
Okay. So. They made better versions after they already sold this idea to FunPub. So, I mean, and some people think that I'm always on FunPub's side. I'm not. I'm really not. I try to be biased, but non-biased. And they were told a lie. It's exactly what they were told. They were told that these were going to be the only way that this is going to be done. They're going to do it this way. That's the molding. They put the box set out. It was amazing. Everyone loved it. Anyone that went to BotCon knows they love 2007 BotCon set. And then the better versions came.
And that was 2 years down the line. And
it was, but it screwed with them.
Yeah, it did. But, I mean, in their defense, like, in 2007, that's when the movie came out and they killed off classics. And we didn't think we were going to get another classics line. Even Hasbro was saying that. And then Universe and Generations happened. But it wasn't very advantageous in the long run for them.
It was
at the time
one of the first huge missteps in the history of the Collectors Club in the eyes of the fans. That's probably it's arguably one of the first huge missteps.
It was the big one. Well, that was the big one that soured a lot of people. And then the credit card debacle, which it happens. I know no one wants to hear that, but it does. I mean, even Amazon had it happen once.
Target.
I mean, it happens. But it was so unfortunate that this happened so close to each other that. And then the other thing was, and everyone knows this, they had such delayed shipping. You know, you were supposed to get one subscription figure a month, and then sometimes you wouldn't get one, and then all of a sudden you get two, and whatever. And I'm not a representative of Funpup by any means, but I know by knowing a little bit more than most that a lot of that was not their fault. As a matter of fact, as far as shipping errors go, none of it was. It was Hasbro Takara waiting to ship those molds. And that's what caused the holdup. But unfortunately, being a company that you have to be customer service and you have to distribute. So you've got customer service, distribute. If you don't meet both of those points, anyone sitting behind the computer is gonna bitch at you. And they weren't always the greatest at customer service and distribution.
Yeah. Some of the good things, let's move on to some of the good things. There was also some exclusive toys that was available through the Collectors Club. Some of these I've actually owned. For example, 2008, we got the then canceled, they were originally, I believe, supposed to have been a Walmart exclusive, but they wound up with the club in really weird colors. Was a Seacon box set. Yes. The Seacons,
yeah, like a Universe 1.0.
Yeah.
Really planned release.
I think the Walmart release was going to be in original colors, but whenever the club got them there, they kind of wanted to change it up and say, hey, let's go with the Universe 1.0 motif. And they had like a lots of the maroons and yellows and blacks. It actually turned out a very pretty set, actually.
The Walmart Deco, that was the set that would have had one called Archerbot. That was not too dissimilar from the Deco that we then got in that box set. I think that except like the hands were yellow and there were some other differences in the Deco, but overall it was a similar theme.
And then
later on we got the BBTS reissue of classic colors.
Mm-hmm. 2010 you got Punch Counter Punch out of the classic Sideswipe and Sunstreaker mold, the one that Sideburn just absolutely loves so much.
Yeah.
He shakes his head no.
Well, I'm actually reading right here where they were talking about Night Sword said, and BBTS got the G1 colors. It's almost like if you wait to the end to see what they have left, you can get the best. And of the Seekers, the BBTS got a I don't remember the name of it. It had all the Seekers, all the cone heads, and they looked so much better. So which one was that? Elite? Was that Elite?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was it called Elite Seekers? Something like that.
Wasn't that a Takara thing, though?
Huh?
I thought that was a Takara release.
I can't remember. Honestly, I can't. He said it was a BBTS and got the G1 colors, and the one that I remember being the most G1 colors was the Elite set. And I don't remember if that was a BBTS exclusive or not. But he's saying Hasbro Asia release. Maybe it was.
Yeah. Now
the point being is that they were told one thing and of course another thing, you know, happened. But we'll go on, Duran.
I was going to move on. In 2012, the club got a hold of an idea and they went with it. And in 2013, we got the subscription service 1.0. Now, the subscription service is something that fans have been asking for many, many years. I know back whenever I got back into collecting as an adult, it was things of dreams back then. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if you could like subscribe to a subscription service and get figures?
Well, because you know, He-Man and like yeah. Mattel, they already had like subscription stuff, and we were sitting here sort of like,
why? Well, I believe G.I. Joe. Didn't G.I. Joe have some subscription stuff, Brett?
Sorry. I was a mile away. What'd you say?
didn't G.I. Joe have subscription stuff for years?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As
a matter of fact.
Oh, my God, Brett. Put some pants on.
I got pants on.
I just noticed there's just not his size behind you than I'm used to seeing.
What's that?
I said, I noticed it's a little cleaner behind you than I'm used to seeing.
It's over that way. But I one of the biggest subscription figures for JoeCon that I wanted are the G.I. Joe Collectors Club was Big Boa, and I finally got one. That figure is amazing. That is perfect. And these have been coming out. I honestly can't remember how old they are, so we can figure it out. But I know it was before Transformers.
But you know,
this is 2012.
Yeah.
But I mean, they kept putting out figures that Hasbro would not produce. Now the difference is, you're talking about G.I. Joe, who would produce maybe what 12 figures a year for mass retail at the time, and so people were just clamoring. They wanted these new figures. And that's where the Collector Club came in. So for Transformers, when they were producing all these figures for the movies, you had Funpub that wanted to take, and they had to go with existing molds. And they wanted to bring out figures that you would not get, or what they thought they would not get. And that's why they went with the Seekers in 07, and that kind of bite them in the butt. But, I mean, there's other figures that they did. I mean, think about the other club excuses they did that you'd never have gotten.
Let's be honest. The subscription service every single year was a hit or miss with each and every figure. There was at least one or two figures in every subscription service that pretty much everybody wanted. And then there was at least one or two figures that everybody was like, I could care less about it. I mean, for example, I've got one right here. Let me see if I can open my door here without knocking everything over. This is one. I know a lot of people are mixed on it, but Car Zap. I personally like this deco. It's really nice, and it's kind of, I guess, a G2. It's a G2. It's got the G2 Autobot insignia on it. I guess he's sort of a windbreaker, I guess. I don't know. Or Car Zap.
That was a wind charger, wasn't it?
No, we can't.
Was
the one that was. It was based on some
European,
like, Italian release that came with some like Lego figures. It was out of Generations Nightbeat.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the deck one was maybe just a little bit boring. I think the biggest problem is it was too obscure for most people to know what it was.
And that's another thing that the club was really bad about is getting. I mean, yeah, it was good that they were doing obscure characters, but sometimes they got a little so obscure that some people were like, I've never heard of this toy or character. You know, most, even if you've been a fan for a long time, a lot of people were like, I didn't even know what that was. You know,
I mean, it was clever. I mean, it came with some Creos. To match the original figure coming with like the Lego type figures. But yeah, it was like if someone understood what it was, they probably were into it. But I feel like 99% of the Transformers fan base didn't. That and the Nightbeat mold is just a terrible mold. But yeah, that's beside the point.
But I mean, it really turned out somewhat decent, in my opinion. Here's another club exclusive, or the subscription service. was a the Combiner War Shattered Glass Starscream. I really got a I love this deco on this toy, and it comes with the. This is something else that the club was good about doing is bringing over exclusive heads that weren't available in the U.S. This used the Takara Starscream head for the Combiner Wars mold that was used only in the what was it the
it was Galvatronus.
Galvatronus or Grand Galvatron. Was it Grand Galvatron had the Ghost Starscream? This head was only available in Japan, but because of the subscription service, it gave a domestic release of that particular remolded head.
And I should have been Sunstorm.
Yeah, it really should have been. But, you know, Shatterglass Starscream, I think the reason they did that is because historically, of all the BotCon exclusives, Shatterglass Starscream from the BotCon set, I forgot what year it was. Was it 2008, 9? Somewhere in there?
I can't remember.
That Shattered Glass Starscream is one of the most expensive and most sought after BotCon toys.
Well, because that was the only way we got. No, we had gotten the smaller Starscream mold in the States before that, right?
No.
We got him in like a red color.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I was trying to. What's that, Jim? Your audio dipped off. Your audio is really bad, Jim.
Put your face closer to the mic.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. But, Don brought up another great one. It was the Ultra Mammoth. Basically.
My favorite. My personal
yes.
favorite.
Yes.
Well, no, yes. Hold on. My second personal favorite.
I liked it.
Thrustinator was fantastic.
Yes. I agree with that too.
What was Thrustinator for a lot of people?
It was the Beast Wars second dirge gun. And then they gave him a new head to look like half Waspinator, half Thrust from Beast Machines. So it's supposed to be like a post Beast Machines, like Waspinator and Thrust are one merged character. I mean, because they were the same character, it was revealed in the show. And I thought that was pretty clever. Use of the Cyber Beasts from the Beast Wars 2nd.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I love exactly. That. Now I don't know about you, Michael, but to find the original set of these will cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
The original ones. The Cybernetic. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Cybernetics, Beast Wars.
Yeah, I only have Thrustle. I've never gotten any of the other ones.
You guys hear me okay?
No.
Now, Dirge Gun is one of the cheaper ones, but like you get into like Max B and Hellscream, they're more expensive for sure.
Right.
Now, there was some. I know Don actually posted this idea of this topic. Let's talk about where the club is now. Essentially, last year, at the beginning of, well, actually this year, was the first of the, well, the club went away, I guess is the best way to put it. They lost the official license from Hasbro in favor of Hasbro going more in-house with their
Everything.
Yeah. Conventions, exclusives, everything.
They just opened their own movie studio.
Yeah. Probably from all the proceeds that they made from the people attending Ascon. Anyway.
I can't see your face. I assume that was a joke. It was like a weird
tweet. I'm sitting there and my eyes are shifting back and forth.
I can't see Duran for all the shade.
Yes, we don't see that.
Beating on the table, Brett. That is very loud. Stop that.
Do you see this? Do you see this? I need new equipment. All right?
Let's see what comes out. I keep telling you to tell me what kind of mic you have so I can get you the stuff. Showing me a picture of it doesn't help.
There it is.
I need to get you the connector for that.
Yes.
I know, but I need to know information to get it for you.
I sent it to you. But that's okay. Whatever.
Send it again because I didn't get it.
Just tell me to cross my hands. There we go.
Yes. Handcuff your hands to the chair.
Just keep kicking it here.
I don't want to do that. I see what happens when you handcuff hands. So I don't want to see it. No.
Especially bedposts. Anyway.
double check. You guys hear me now?
Barely. Somewhat.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Right. No, what I was saying about that that Starscream head mold, though, from the for the Combiner Wars mold, I'm kind of hoping that we see that used in Power of the Primes, because with us getting that leader class Starscream, or Voyager, I'm sorry, Voyager Starscream that's a Combiner torso.
Yeah.
What better thing would there be than a Thundercracker, Skywarp, and, you know, like Acid Storm, you know, limbs?
Yeah, I could see maybe Takara doing something like that. Mm-hmm. I would buy them. See, because I'm actually getting maybe a little more excited about next year when Power of the Prime starts coming out, because I liked the Combiner Wars stuff. Yeah. So more Combiners, I'll probably start buying stuff again. I haven't had much of a reason to buy stuff this year. So I've sort of been iffy on, like, Transformers this year. Like, am I even a collector anymore? But I'm looking forward to Combiners coming back because I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I'm so jumping on Abominus and the Dinobots, too.
I can't wait to see the Predaking.
Yeah, we've seen the wings.
Yeah, we've seen the tease of the wings.
Yeah.
But the club right now is in a state of basically fire sailing off all that is remaining of BotCon and club exclusives.
Yeah, I got an email on Friday that everything on the store is now 40% off.
Which is still not enough for it. Because if you really look at that list, a lot of that stuff is most of the items that nobody really wants.
Yeah, I'm holding out. Like, I'm waiting on a few things to drop down because I want the Alpha Trizer and Ape Link and a few of the other, like, Beast Wars homages. But yeah, a lot of that stuff on there is the hard to move stuff, which is why it keeps dropping in price.
And
they have a signed full set of the Beast Wars Dawn of Futures Past, and at 40%, it's still $900 if you want to buy it.
It's signed.
Yeah. And then Scott McNeil and a few others.
The thing is, though, is that Dinobot is GPS prone.
Oh, yeah. If you buy that thing, you don't open it.
just hope that it's still intact inside. But going,
as long as it's crumbled in its original packaging, it still has some worth.
Sure. But you just don't lift the top of the box.
Might as well have a mirror and a razor blade.
Sorry, which figure are we talking about?
The BotCon Dawn of Futures Past box set. It's still on the club store.
The plastic.
Yeah, it's still on the club store for $900 sealed or signed. Is that at 40% off?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was originally at $1,200 or something like that.
$1,200, but think about it. Look at all the figures that you get from that set. I mean,
well,
you
got
the primal. I mean, that's what, a $350, $400 piece.
Yeah, well,
the Megatron's probably worth more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but the problem is that Dinobot has that gold plastic. I got one myself when I got my box set in, and it was snapped. There's two little, I don't know how to explain it. When the legs fold under, and that's the long rack mold, isn't it?
It was originally Armada Hoist.
Hoist, okay. So when the legs fold under and they clip, and there's these two little pins that come down from the underside area, mm-hmm. and when you clip those with the gold plastic, they snap.
Yeah.
That's very, very common. Not to mention, if you dropped it, it would just be like every other G2, whatever you want to talk about it, gold plastic syndrome. I mean, we could go all the way down the road.
Electro.
Sky Hammer, everything, blah, blah, blah. Electro. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hold up. So that made him a very valuable figure. I mean, you could get 400, 450 for a really, really nice Dinobot. So for that whole set being, what'd you say it was? 900?
Yeah, and it's signed by like four voice actors. I'm not saying that's a bad deal. I'm just saying
it's not a bad deal. Do I want to pay it?
I don't have $900. And unfortunately, I want to open something like that, and it's signed, and you know, you can't open it if it's signed.
Well, here's the problem I have. I look at it that I went there. I bought a set. I paid $400 for it. Why would I want to pay double for it? Well, that's me, because I had the opportunity of buying it.
Oh, those
quote unquote retail
figures are as expensive as freaking heck now.
Well, but
you'll pay the $1,200 for the Megatron by himself.
Well, let's not get into the shuttered glass. You know, we're going to get into that very, very soon and talk about how much those figures are, because those figures are expensive too.
Yeah, that's you know, another thing.
Try to get a Rodimus.
Well, let's segue into that. Shattered Glass is another concept that was introduced into the Transformers universe through the Collectors Club, Shattered Glass.
By the way, Transformers needs to thank Star Trek for, because mm-hmm. that's where the idea came from.
Mirror, mirror universe.
Absolutely. Everything reverts back to Star Trek.
At the time that came out, we were all like, we want to see something different from Transformers, and some of us were saying, like, wouldn't it be interesting if the Autobots were actually the bad guys and stuff like that? Because you see some of that influence come out in, like, IDW and the Shattered Glass set. Like, you read the IDW comics, and are the Autobots the good guys?
Well, let me say one thing to you. The whole Shattered Glass universe was created by Funpub. By a couple guys, probably just one, but I'm going to leave it at that. A couple guys, and I will say for a fact that one guy that worked really, really hard on a certain character, when they made a Shattered Glass, a Masterpiece Prime, he loved it because that was his creation. They made an official, and you guys know this, they made an mm-hmm. official Masterpiece Prime, Shattered Glass Prime, and that was one person. I'm not going to say his name, Jesse. So I mean, it's just one of those things. That was his idea, and he got to see it go to be
mass retail. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it was. The concept was interesting. I think the only thing now that maybe soils it, looking back, is that at some point there was a little fatigue on it.
Fatigue? I think they wrote it into the ground for a bit.
But it was, you know, when it first came out, everyone loved it. And which is why it's still an expensive set.
All right. Remember, anyone that went to Pete's Robot Convention, they saw some of the stuff that was coming out. The Action Master stuff and all that. And that stuff was amazing. So you say to yourself, why wasn't that picked over the rehash of we do this and we throw a Shattered Glass in? We do this, we throw one little Shattered Glass in, because we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hasbro kind of looks on the safe side, and they know that Shattered Glass sold. All right? We know this sells.
Yeah, Nysord pointed out in Power of the Primes, we're getting another Shattered Glass figure in the Shattered Glass Hot Rod Rodimus Prime mold. Unicronus Rodimus?
Rodimus Unicronus.
Yeah.
Right, which all would not have been possible had Funpub had the Collector's Club and had the license at that time.
Well, was Shattered Glass Rodimus before the E-Hobby Dark Rodimus?
No, I can't. I think Shattered Glass
Rodimus was 08.
The Dark Rodimus was a lot earlier than that, I think. Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to. Concept. It wasn't meant to be a mirror universe. I mean,
That had to do with the. Didn't that have to do with the corrupted matrix?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you're talking about two different theories. My point being is that you know, FunPub made this universe and it's continuing on. So the problem is that you know, every year FunPub would come with this idea for a box set. I want this. And to appease them, they would throw in Shattered Glass because they're like, oh man, you know, 08, that was the best. You know, you did great there. So maybe that was, you know, short-sightedness on Hasbro is why we got so many, what we did with a smattering of Shattered Glass, because they knew that would sell. Because, I mean, heck, it sold before. Why shouldn't it sell now? And, I mean, I've known people that have worked for Hasbro. I know people that deal with Hasbro. And the biggest problem they have is they're very short-sighted. They look at what made money now, not what's going to make money in the future. Well, I think that some of the designs we saw, like the Action Master set, you know, a lot of people don't like them, but you saw what he had there. I mean, they were good molds, good designs. I think it would have held its own. Yeah. But they go with what's safe.
Well, seeing as how the Collectors Club is essentially no more now, there's not going to be any new releases, at least for the foreseeable future, unless somebody else picks up and takes off where the Collectors Club left off. Personally, I don't see Hasbro doing another outside company doing the Collectors Club. I think if they're going to do a Transformers Collectors Club again, it's going to be more of a in-house Hasbro thing. I think they'll be a little bit more reined in with their and less obscure with their releases if they were to do it again.
We might get obscure in different ways.
Yeah.
But
well, let's talk about some speculation here. What we would like to see in a future Collectors Club, if they were to do it again, and what things that previous Collectors Club did that we would like to see not repeated in the new one. Jim, well, we haven't heard too much from you. What would you like to see in a upcoming or in a future Collectors Club?
Yeah, you haven't heard much of me. I blame my microphone. some things I wouldn't mind seeing in a future incarnation of the Collectors Club would be like you mentioned earlier, access to foreign exclusives that we would not otherwise get domestically. Another thing I think would be an avenue for various reissues that wouldn't otherwise do well at retail nowadays. Like if you think back to even the G1 book style, you know, that was a Toys R Us exclusive line. And even then, I remember walking in and seeing, you know, 3 and 4 rows of, it was called Silver Streak then, but Blue Streak, just sitting there warming the shelf. So I think a club would be a better avenue for that, because it would eliminate, you know, product just sitting on a shelf, you know, grabs consumer. It would be just direct to collector.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Above all else, I think if we were to get another club, if they could please avoid translucent plastic like the plague, unless it's like a windshield or a canopy or something like that. Because Nexus Maximus,
I think Brett actually has a comeback to that. Just something about his reaction.
I like that. I really did. That was my biggest selling point on the first 5 years. I liked it. First
5 years from 05 through 09, and every single year, my exclusive figure showed up full of chips, cracks, and splinters all through the plastic. Even Landquake, which was in the plastic bubble, every year.
You know, I've handled a couple of the original Collectors Club sets, the Nexus Maximus or Nexus Prime or whatever it's called, the vibrator toy. Yeah, the vibrator combiner. Yeah, more than meets the eye. I've handled several of those sets here within the last couple of years, and not a one of them were broken, and they're made entirely of translucent plastic.
I can tell you I have that. I have the what was that? The Japanese exclusive Car Brothers clear.
Is that 2000? Yeah,
that. I got a set sitting right back here. Nothing.
Michael, where on earth did you get that?
Oh, I got it from Duran Land.
Yeah. See, but my question.
I will never open my point being is, or transform is, them.
There's no bad parts.
I transformed them just fine.
I also had the
exclusive. Well, so see, here's the thing. I have the original Car Robot Brothers, and they are made of clear plastic as well, because every part's just painted.
Yeah.
And, like, my Sideburn and my X-Brawn are hanging in okay, but Prowl's doors don't stay on his hips anymore, because the ball joints have cracked. So it's like, it's... I know where Jim's coming from. Like, clear plastic gives me, you know, a bit of a bad feeling. But this usually, I'm buying Beast Wars, and they all have, you know, they all have.
Yeah, we cut Brett off.
All right, sorry.
He's just like, I'll just screw it. He just said,
I was just going to say, they all have ball joints, and ball joints and clear plastic scare me. But other than that, I always think clear plastic looks cool.
If you handle it carefully, clear plastic can be fine. Yeah.
Like, I've never hated clear plastic. It just sometimes makes me a little nervous.
Finish what you were saying, Brett.
All right. So.
So, Jim, what were...
So, my question, my point being is that I've got all these figures, and I haven't seen any stresses or cracks or anything like that. And I even had the Family Mart Prime, the movie Prime, that was all in clear plastic. And I'm telling you, you take that thing, you display it with a little light underneath it, It's magnificent. It's gorgeous.
It's I call it the Jolly Rancher effect. It looks so pretty.
It really is. And the funny part is that we kind of started that. Mega Toy Fan did, because we had our exclusive, the Crystal Cobra, which I specifically wanted in clear red plastic. And I can tell you that none of them that I know of have chipped, broken, or anything because of that.
So it's your fault.
I'm just saying, we're a trendsetter.
Just a little bit.
But it worked. And well, ours don't break.
Another part of the appeal of translucent plastic figures is the ability to see the inner workings of a toy and see how it moves whenever it transforms. I mean, because you get to see things that you don't normally see in the normal version of a toy because of opaque plastic. And it's almost like transforming a 3D X-ray of a toy.
Somewhat. I know that Macross, they did a lot of the, they have a Fast Packs armor set for the Jetfire mold, which is actually the Veritech mold. And they're all clear plastic. So you could see the intricate workings of what it's supposed to be. And I dig that. And I do. I think the clear plastic is a... I'm almost going to put it as a lost art, because they're getting away from it. And the fact that you have people that, you know, like Michael Swift that manhandle them for some reason, I don't know, and they break, there's less out on the market. You know, I don't know what you're doing with your toys, but maybe you should stop.
Just prowl.
Going back a few minutes ago, FVGBE342 asked us on YouTube, how much of a price difference does labor, as in the people involved in toy creation, factor in the price increase of toys?
Not as much as oil does.
Yeah. I honestly think that oil prices probably impact it more than anything.
I would think that labor costs, I think, would be a smaller percentage when compared to other overhead.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to digress too much from, because I know we got off on the pretty translucent plasticky thing. But
I was trying to find my Year of the Goat sound wave, but I think it's still fucked.
I have one right here. but the Collectors Club, Brett, what would you like to see in a future incarnation of the Collectors Club, and what would you like to see them not do again?
All right, let me see if I can find it. Come back to me, because I've got one, but come back to me. I got
okay,
find
Michael.
So, I think it would be a great way for them to bring over the stuff that Takara's been doing that are exclusive to Takara. Like with the Combiner War limbs, when we got, you know, Groove and the other one that's escaped my brain. Right. And then we never got Blastoff.
Which, in all honesty, that mold is not that great.
No, it's really not, but we never got it. And, I mean, that would be a great way for them to bring that stuff over. And there's, like, we're probably not going to get that the great shot that Takara's making. It would be an interesting way for them to bring that over. But that's kind of the boring answer, is that they would bring over the exclusives that probably would be harder to sell.
So basically what you're saying,
club market would be smaller and more focused.
What you're saying is that what Jim said was boring. Jim, by extension, is boring.
But, yeah, I mean, with the likelihood that we get anything that was, all right, we would probably get repaints and we'd probably get some remolds. And they'd plan them into their mold production.
Well,
but we're more likely to get stuff like that really stupid Optimus Prime Power Brick from HasCon.
Nightsword,
stuff that no one really wants.
Nightsword actually brought up something. Club bringing over e-hobby stuff. Isn't e-hobby don't they carry club stuff in the Asian market?
They had a deal, I think, with e-hobby. I guess that's no longer a deal.
Well, I mean, but it just seemed like it would have went both ways, in my opinion. You know,
I thought it was supposed to, but it seemed like it never did.
It never did. Never did. I don't recall the club ever getting something that e-hobby offered in Asia that we got here in the U.S. as well through the club. I don't think it ever materialized, if it was supposed to.
It was one instance.
Stepper?
We didn't get Stepper over here.
Ricochet.
We didn't get.
Yeah, but that was
a United. That was United.
We got the alternator, and we got
my point being is it was the same toy brought over as Ricochet when it was Stepper, which was a
that was the Millen Publishing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Millen Publishing. It wasn't e-hobby.
Okay, but my point being is you're talking about something that was an exclusive that was brought over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the G1 Shattered Glass Soundwave and Sound Blaster set.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a joint exclusive. But, you know, if that's all we got from that partnership, I think we got a raw deal on that, honestly.
Just a little bit.
But me personally, what I would like to see in a future incarnation of the club, yes, I would love to see what you guys said, you know, bringing over exclusives that are like Asian exclusives or Asia only molds. Yeah, that the Black Convoy and the out of the Titan Returns Laser Prime mold. I'd like to see stuff like that through the club over here. I would like to see more of what they were, basically what they were doing in the subscription service, taking existing figures and retooling the heads, retooling, you know, giving them slight retools and redecos.
I don't think we would get backwards molds, though. If Hasbro's doing this, we're looking current forward. Molds. And they're using current molds, and it's something that when they sit down to design the toy, they're like, we can design these parts into the mold, and then it can be exclusive. Mm-hmm.
Well, my thought, what I'd like to see, get out there here. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So they're talking about the reissue of these molds. Why can't we get this?
Well, seeing as how the reissue is going to be $275, can you imagine how much that would be?
Let me explain. Yeah, but to get this figure, which there are only a handful of, would cost you considerably more.
Now, Brett,
this is the OTFCC Defensor. This was their it wasn't released. What do they call that? Proposed. Exclusive, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And unfortunately, there's only been a few of them that have been put out samples of this. But with the re-release of these two molds, I don't see why they could not do this. I mean, do you guys agree or disagree?
It definitely would be a good way to do it.
I mean, why not now? Why not now?
I could
because it's too expensive to put out in the general market. Because like Duran was saying, it's almost $300.
Yeah, but there's Takara. No justification for that.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think there is and there isn't.
Go ahead.
We won't talk about those though. But if it were to come over here, if they were to release those, it'd probably be some like Toys R Us exclusive, and they'd mark it up to like $500.
No way. I guarantee a brand over here, they would not market that high. I mean, think about it. What did Devastator sell at Toys R Us retail? What did it sell for? $150?
Devastator was $100.
Okay. There's no way they could justify selling this for more than that. It would be less. Even though it's an exclusive, they could jack up the price, especially when those things went for, was it $19.99 or $29.99?
The leaders, they were
30 bucks.
No way.
They were 30 or 40.
Okay, I think they were $29.99. So you're talking about two figures at $60 bucks. You do your upscale because it's an exclusive, $100 bucks. I don't see them asking more than $100 bucks for this.
I could just going off the fact of seeing what they're doing with their Power Ranger Megazords.
Well, then throw it to Sam's. Sam's did an exclusive of both molds, and I think each of them were under $35 bucks each.
Yeah,
but
and they had Costco had them too at one point.
Costco did.
I think the bigger problem here is like comparatively to modern day. Leader figures, the RID leaders are far more complex. There's far more moving parts. And they're selling leaders nowadays at almost $60.
Yeah.
Takara leaders.
That's $120 bucks. That's
Takara leaders are coming. Takara leaders, though, are importing at like $90 bucks.
Yeah.
And then you're throwing on top of it the paint applications on RID figures are far beyond what we get nowadays. Almost every part of those figures is painted.
My point being is right now, with these molds coming out, It's a perfect time to do this remold. I don't care if it's a catalog, if it's an on-site stored, you know, BBTS or whatever, exclusive, whatever. It can't be $500 and you would get this.
No. I was saying that if it would be Hasbro, or it would be Toys R Us's markup that would make it $500, but
I still disagree with that because a lot of their stuff was well under that.
Toys R Us stuff is always so freaking expensive, man.
Yeah. Tell me one toy that came out of Toys R Us that was $500.
It was, but none of them ever started at $300.
I'm telling you, I don't see it. You also got to remember that they're in the decline.
The $40 Masterpiece Prowl came out at $100.
Right.
It was more expensive to buy it domestically than to ship it in.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said,
I could see where the Defensor idea would be feasible or be possible, being that they're releasing the molds again.
Yes.
I don't know if it would be practical.
Let's go back to my point, though. My point of the Toys R Us thing was that the club would, or a new club would be the best way to do it because you could avoid the price hike.
Well, keep in mind, too, just
and that's why I think it's a good idea.
We got the Protectobots using like the Generations Inferno mold and like the Prime RC mold for Groove. And then we also got Combiner Wars Defensor as well. So I don't know if it would necessarily there would necessarily be too much of a demand for it.
Don would buy it.
I'm going to explain. I'm just going to say exactly what I just wrote on the YouTube page. My point being, it could be done for well under $500 and get us the toy that we wanted in 2004. Don.
I agree, and it's the same thing that happened with the Megatron from RID Megatron. I mean, that was a concept that we got that was originally conceptualized by OTSCC, and it materialized only because of a club, and
sold out because of the club.
That would definitely be the avenue to do it. I'm just afraid Hasbro would be too afraid to go backwards like the club was. The club would go back to old molds, and I don't know if Hasbro would.
I guess we could talk.
I mean, the club's going to go to whatever molds are available, you know? And that's one of the things that Pete did on with like the Action Master stuff. And everyone, I mean, the first thing that happened was people were bitching because these are molds that are more current that he's using. But given the year expanse, those molds would have been available. So look at the molds that are available right now. And this is what people don't understand. Look at the molds that are available right now and maybe 1 or 2 years prior. Those are the molds you have access to do your design. I mean, I can't take a G1 mold and mold it the way I want it to for my figure. Those molds aren't available. I have to look at something that's only a couple years old. So we're looking at Combiner Wars. I mean, what was the year before Combiner Wars? Titans Returns, all that stuff. That's what you have. So what can you make with those molds? And that's what the club did. They tried to, you know, peg hole those molds to this design each time. And everyone thinks it's, you know, it's super easy. I'll just take this mold and I'll make it this. But they weren't always available. If that makes sense. Well, dead silence. I don't like dead silence. Come on, guys.
Well, there's... I was actually replying. Night Sword said they do go back quite a bit. Hasbro does, but I don't think they go back way back often. You know, it's not
going to get G1, G2 stuff.
No, you're
I don't even think you'd see like Thrustinator probably would never happen. The Defensor makes sense because like Defensor is coming, or those molds are coming out. They're being re-released. But like, I don't think you would ever get the Grand Max shell again.
And stuff we just like got it.
It's funny you should mention that. Would you like to know how?
Hasbro, right?
I'll say it right now. A lot of people don't know this. Would you like to know how they got the Grand Max shell, Grand, for the exclusive for Megatron?
Well, I know because I talked to Daniel.
Oh, and what did he say? Because it came from me. It was shell.
So I thought you meant why the mold was available.
No, it wasn't available. They took my mold, my shell.
Sent it to Japan.
They sent it to Japan. They molded it off of my figure to make those toys.
Huh. Well, I heard differently.
That's exactly what happened. That's why I was without my shell for 4 months, and I was bitching the whole time, but that's okay. But yes.
It's like, where's my expensive toy?
Exactly. I was like, am I going to get this back? Well, it's still over there, whatever. Because it was cheaper for them to send an existing toy than for them to, in Japan, scour and find one. That's how they looked at it. And yes, that toy was made off of my mold, which is sitting right behind me. So sometimes, and Funpub did that. They asked me, they did it, it's gone. It's you know, so do you think a big conglomerate like Takara would do that? No, they would spend the extra time to find it and then up the price and whatever.
Well, yeah, and that's
how that came about.
That's why I don't think, because, I mean, and obviously if a new club happens, it's going to happen through like official channels. It's going to be like the Hasbro Collectors Club. And that's why I'm thinking, if that comes out, we won't get stuff like that anymore.
You're not going to be able to pull from the fandom.
Yeah.
If you are a legitimate company to where you have no eyes on the collector, you're looking at nothing but the total, you know, goal of profit, you're not going to have these resources like Funpub did. Now, that's the problem.
What would you like to see them not do if there is a new club? Or not repeat that they did. Now, as great me personally, I'll just get mine out of the way real quick. Me personally, as great as I think Shattered Glass is, I wouldn't like to see them dip into it as much. I don't mind seeing it once in a while. But exclusive set, putting 6 years down the road, having another Shattered Glass come out, I just is pointless.
Yeah, but look at the last few sets that they did. There was like one figure each time out of what, 14, 16 figures? That's
to
pretty me good.
Though that yeah, but to me though that was just like dragging it out longer than it needed to be.
It wasn't. What that was is that was appeasing the supposed marketers at Hasbro that says, well, this sells. You got to put one of those in it. This sells. You got to put one of those in it. So they did that more so to appease them.
Well, sells too, but they didn't put that in there.
Well, I don't think you can sell that to kids there, Doran. Now, can they?
Well, Nexus Maximus.
Right.
So the point being is you were asking what you wouldn't want to see. I'll be honest with you. What I don't want to see is the Transformers G.I. Joe, the Transformers My Little Pony. And if you think it's not coming, you're wrong.
They should do mock kick. The
cross contamination of lines just to simply sell. That's what I don't want to see. Because they're doing it.
Yeah. I posted the picture I took of the HasCon exclusive that I picked up off of HasbroToyShop.com, which was the magic cards. Because they had the Grimlock magic card. And, like, personally, I would buy a set of Transformers Magic the Gathering cards. But at the same time, it sort of sets that precedence that, you know, oh, Hasbro can mix Transformers with anything. And
Gold.
Water, I definitely, gold. Water down definitely the product.
Definitely don't want to see that.
That's my point. That's what I don't want. I don't want the cross, and I'm sorry, but I can't think. If you guys can think of a better term than cross-contamination, let me know. But that's what it is. Cross-contamination of different storylines, different universes, just to simply sell. That's what I don't want to see. I mean, I've got a freaking comic of Soundwave with My Little Pony. It's been
done. That was like the, what was that? The
San Diego Comic Con. Yeah, I've got it. So everyone that says, they'll never do that.
Well, they're already.
IW already
has a Brett. Transformers G.I. Joe and
exactly.
Transformers versus Rom the Space Knight.
Wait a minute, I've trumped you all. Transformers and Schick razor blades.
We saw those, but that was 100% publicity sell.
Transformers.
There is a comic book for it, and it is awful.
Oh, there is?
Yes, I have one. Yes. There is a Schick razor blade meets Transformers.
So that only strengthens my point. The cross contamination. If you just go strictly to what Transformers is, and I don't even care if you make it, project it out to make it like really crazy, like Beast Wars organic or Beast Machines organic. I'm sorry there, Michael, but whatever. It doesn't matter. GMOs. That's still the progression of the same line. When you start cross-contaminating it with Mask, and they're doing that, My Little Pony, you think about every Hasbro line, they're crossing it with something that's making money so they can bring these other lines up. That's what it's about.
And because the likelihood that if a club starts up again, it's not going to be a Transformers Collectors Club. It's going to be the Hasbro Collectors Club.
Exactly. That way they can get every little bit from everyone. But we all know that the core members are going to be G.I. Joe and Transformers. That's what's going to happen. So you're going to support the My Little Pony, the Mask,
I think My Little Pony might have more selling power.
I don't think it did
at one time.
I don't know. I really don't. But my point being is that you're doing the cross-contamination, and I don't think My Little Pony wants to look at Transformers. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to look at My Little Pony. I don't know about you. Maybe you do. But I don't.
Century. I've made the joke about stamping a Tampo on the back of Mott Kick, but other than that, no.
You got to admit, you got to want that. You've got to want that. And
there's a difference, though. Mott Kick's a pretty good toy.
It really is.
And you got to, if you're going to talk about that, you got to talk about the best toy was it called Break or Beak?
Break.
The penguin. That was a kick-ass toy.
Mott Kick is the best because you can brush his hair.
Well, I mean, not only that, but what could you imagine if they put some butterfly wings on the back toy,
and it comes with a brush.
Yeah, and it comes with a brush.
And it's hot pink.
Hot pink with a little stamp on the back, a little pony stamp on the back.
You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Robot Chicken. I really am. All the little skits they did, Robot Chicken, you just made them come true.
Yeah.
Make that toy.
You want to go to the saddest
thing? And call him Flutter Kick.
I'd buy that stupid thing.
I knew you would.
I just kept layering it on until Michael said, "Yeah, I'd buy it."
It did remind me though. Recently, with Titans Return Alpha Trion, he is kind of a unicorn type lion thing.
Oh Jesus Christ!
So that's already started.
Yeah, but it's not pony. I mean, this thing here would actually have to have My Little Pony on the packaging.
My goodness. But so yeah, I'm gonna feed off of Brett, and I'm gonna say the thing I wouldn't want to happen is it to be one unified club. Like I don't want to subscribe to something, or join a club and then get one exclusive thing I like and a bunch of crap I'm gonna have to get rid of.
Well, if you think about it, the Collectors Club was much the same way as we had it. You know, I mean, you had this magazine, which honestly, there really wasn't a lot of substance to it. And what killed the magazine was online spoilers. You know, you could see a lot of the information and pictures of the stuff online before the magazine even came out. So the magazine was already irrelevant before you even got it. And
that was definitely a distro thing. Like, I remember the 1 year or the couple of years I was subscribed, I did, like, I would get the magazine usually a couple weeks after it hit, like, online.
Yeah. And you'd see people talking about it before you even got it. And on top of that, the subscription service, like I said earlier, you know, there might be two figures in the whole lineup for that particular year that you might want, and then the rest of them you're like, I don't care about those. Does anybody want these? Let me flip them, you know.
Oh, I got another one that I don't want them to do, because I can see them doing this and be mystery bucks, a monthly mystery bucks. And
the Loot Crate type stuff.
I subscribe to like Loot Crate Gaming, but I don't want that again. Like, that would be terrible to me. Like a box of Hasbro crap every month.
Unless it was Titan Masters. No, people would buy those.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and just, you know, make sure they're like painted up and not just flat. You know, flat colors like some of them are. What was it? Was it Twin Twists or Top Spins who had like absolutely no paint on it at all?
Twin Twist had a blue head and
no his... Top Spin, his head. His Titan Master. I think he had like almost no paint on him at all.
Well, that's like there's this poor little guy.
Yeah. Which one is that?
The Tidal Wave.
Oh, Tidal. I didn't have that. I don't have that one.
Yeah, I mean the head's painted obviously for Tidal Wave, but he's just gray. Yeah. Now I can't remember what his minicon looked like, and maybe his minicon was just all gray, and that's what they're homaging. But I mostly just think he's just all gray.
Oh, shh. Here, he's back now. We need to stop talking about him.
I can still hear you.
No, Brett.
Oh, he's back?
he's saying that the Carolina Panthers are number one with his middle finger.
Damn straight. No,
I thought maybe the Carolina Panthers like Mini Pearl.
Got me some carrots. Here's the problem. You do the show, you get hungry. I try and eat healthy, but here's what happens. You ready? Carrots. It's loud.
You sound like a cow.
Anyway, I'm eating my carrots.
Eat your carrots like a little rabbit. All right, guys. You know, I think those are some great topics or talking points that we've had regarding the Collectors Club. Brett, did you have any further thoughts on it?
Let me finish. Oh, yeah.
people are going to hate us.
Hang on.
They already do.
It's all right. Hey! Help! Living healthy. As far as that goes, as I said, I really, really, I went to BotCon all the way since 2000, and I remember seeing the promos for the Defensor and thinking, I freaking love this thing. It's amazing. I don't know why, even though it's not a Gestalt, it's not a combiner, it's just two boss together, but it looked good. I loved it, and I really, really won that toy, and I never got it. So you talked about what one wish you would like for the club to do. What better time now than they're re-releasing both of those figures?
They just need to throw me a Beast Wars bone every year.
There's some Beast Wars stuff I like too. Don't get me wrong. But this was... This just soothed my little, you know, my little itch, and I loved it. That's all I got to say about this topic.
Yeah. Because if I could say one good thing about FunPub, and this is just, I could probably say a lot of good things about FunPub, but like one good thing about FunPub is that they threw me a Beast Wars bone every single year for at least the last 5 or 6 years, and I was like, thank you. I will take that.
But think about that.
I feel validated.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Whoa. Why did they do that? Because they knew that there was some value in the people that came on later, and that was their G1.
And it could also be that their most valuable set was a Beast Wars-related set.
I was just saying that I think they, when you have a smaller company that has collectors, that they're going to... look more to what a collector would want. When you take the whole thing and you hand it over to a conglomerate, a company, they're just looking for the end goal, what makes money. And unfortunately, the kids make more money than the collectors do. So we're not going to get those key pieces that we want. And I think that's what you're going to see with this HasCon. I honestly think you're going to see HasCon come out with some sort of a club, kind of like what FunPub did, but it's going to be geared more towards kids. That's what I think.
Kind of like the R&D 2.0 stuff. You know, every time I see more of that stuff, the more I'm like, you know, that is just so not my cup of tea. I want to distance myself from that stuff. I don't know why. I've got a growing aversion to it.
I still need the Beast Wars Scorponok homage, though. I never found it.
I had one. I had it for sale.
Which one?
The Double Punch? No, the R.I.D. 2.0.
Yeah, it was like it was purple. It had 100% Beast Wars Scorponok's head.
Yeah, I had one.
That was 2014?
Last year.
2016 or 15, something like that.
15 was the last one. Or 16 was the last one. It's a 15. The green and yellow.
Oh, no. This was mass release.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a Toys R Us exclusive.
2.0 mass release, yeah. It was a Toys R Us.
Okay.
Yeah. Jim, do you have any closing thoughts?
No.
Yeah.
Nah. No.
Nah.
Other than that, Brett has a tag on his hat still.
I do, because
that's what the cool kids do.
He just needs to make the bill real flat and cock it to the side, you know?
It's all in homage to Minnie Pearl.
Because nobody knows who Minnie Pearl is anymore.
I did this for you guys, but I don't mess with the hat. That's why I normally wear.
Because Brett is so fly like that, you know.
I don't know about that, but
hey, Jim, it's good. Just do this for the camera.
Yes.
Michael got the Will Riker beard going on.
I'm just waiting for him to say that the world's going to end.
He needs a pipe. You need a pipe.
Did anyone else get the Orson Welles reference to that? Come on.
No. Brett, we're not as old as you are. You got to understand that.
You know, I have this little problem right here. This thing just doesn't. It's right here. It itches. All right.
See, our first car wasn't a Model T.
It was a damn good car. That's all I'm going to say. No problems, you know. I didn't have to worry about other people on the road. There was only two of us. I mean, come on.
One lane.
One lane.
There was one lane. I mean,
whenever he got off from work, he slid down Dino's back, you know.
The horses had to give way to the cars.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is how exactly were you able to get the car back upright due to the weight of the Bronto ribs? Did you just get another order of ribs for the other side of the car and tip it back up?
You ate your way out.
Well, sure, but that's going to throw off the weight if you do that.
You just put another back of ribs on the other side.
Eat it. Eat it.
In all seriousness, Brett, I got to ask you a serious question here.
I'm not telling you how old I am.
In all seriousness.
Okay.
Did dinosaurs really have feathers?
No. That whole damn thing is wrong.
They shaved.
They shaved down there.
Look, this is not
a Everybody loves a bald dinosaur, you know.
No, see, they weren't
not
feathers.
A Jurassic Park show.
Right. They weren't feathers. They were saw blade scales.
I always thought it'd be neat if they were quills.
Yeah. Quills.
All right.
Is a quill just a feather?
I think we've derailed enough here. Guys, I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. If you have any comments or thoughts along the topic line of this discussion that we had tonight regarding the Transformers Club, past, present, and questionable future, we'd love to hear from you. Post them in the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Got quite an active group on there. Always something being posted pretty much every day. So check us out on there. Also on TFYLP, on Twitter, at TFYLP. And as always, check us out on patreon.com/TFYLP. If you love what we do, every little bit helps. And help Brett stop beating on the desk by helping me help him get the proper equipment. You know, because, and then Jim, you know, he might actually want a camera and a decent mic and everything like that. He may want to stop using a Chromebook to broadcast with.
Oh, I've not used the Chromebook in over a year, man.
I'm just digging on you, bro.
I actually forgot I still had it.
But we love everybody and hope everybody has enjoyed this episode. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
See ya.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.